the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. We come to you again today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to continue the teachings we've been bringing to you from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permit. Listener, we've been sharing with you the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, or the first principles of the oracles of God. We have mentioned that there are seven. We have dealt with the doctrine of Christ, the person of Christ, who is the Godhead, and to know Him by revelation. We've also dealt with the issue of repentance from dead works. We've also shared this with you, that it means that we have to begin to walk in the Spirit so that we can do the works that are led by the Spirit. And so we also, last week, we began to speak on the issue of faith towards God. And so we are continuing today on the issue of faith, and trust that the Lord will minister to all of us by the hearing of His word. We know that there is power in the word to touch, to change, to transform, and to heal. So we trust that the power in the word will come to you as we share with you today again. Remember, what we are dealing with today is faith toward God. And so I want to read some scriptures for our understanding and for our help. But before I go on, let me also remind you that last week we talked about the source of this faith. We talked about faith that is the embodiment of beliefs. We talked about that. We talk about faith that is the gift of the Spirit. And then we talk about faith that is the faith to live by. That is, the just shall live by his faith. This is the saving faith. And I want to begin from there today to reemphasize this issue. And so I want you to turn with me as we go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So this faith to live by is what we have just read about here. We are saved through faith. And this faith is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. So this faith is the faith that is imparted to every believer at the point of hearing the true gospel. When the true gospel, authentic gospel, is preached, it comes with power, and it releases faith to the hearer, to the sinner, to be saved. At this beginning, this faith is given to us. What we can say is the saving faith that comes into our heart at the beginning, at the time when we say yes to Christ and we surrender our lives to Him to be saved from our sins. So, I will see this faith here. I also want to elaborate on this as we go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, from verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh in this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that he is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see this faith here again. It's saying here, what Paul is simply saying here, this faith comes when one is confronted with the gospel. Okay, when one has been spoken. He said, this faith, do not say who shall ascend to heaven to bring it, or who shall descend to hell to bring this faith. He said, this faith is nigh thee, even this word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the gospel is to preach faith, faith to be saved. Faith to be saved from our sin. It comes as the truth of the word of God is presented, the gospel. I say like the authentic gospel. I'm saying that the scripture says there's another gospel, there's another Jesus. I'm saying this because today there are many gospels that people are preaching that is not truly an authentic gospel, because it does not truly present Christ the way he ought to be presented. But when somebody is given the opportunity by God to hear the true gospel, the word of faith is spoken. Faith comes to the hearer, and the hearer is able to see his situation. Faith is imparted to him, and he knows that he cannot be saved by his works. He cannot be saved by being religious. He cannot be saved by good works. He cannot be saved by going to church. It's not churchianity. And he begins to know that salvation is not in doing things. That salvation is in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in receiving the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made a way for your salvation, who has shed his blood so that you can be saved. It is a revelation that comes to you. And when such happens to a person, he knows he's saved. He knows that he's a child of God. He knows that his name is written in the book of life, not because he belongs to a church, not because he goes to a church. Of course, that's part of it. But he knows that his salvation is on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. But what we're saying today is that faith is imparted to him. That's what Paul is saying here. And this faith, he says, wrought righteousness. This faith brings righteousness, because with the mouth, with the heart, you believe, and then with the mouth, confession is made. We're going to emphasize this again. You see that faith works by two things. It's first deposited in your heart, and if it's in your heart, you will speak it forth with your mouth. That's why when a sinner receives the gospel, he believes in his heart that Jesus died for him. Like I say, it's a supernatural thing. Faith is imparted to him. He now believes. There's something that comes into him. It's an operation of God. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them God has given power. There's a power that comes through preaching the true gospel that imparts the life of Christ to you, that gives you faith to believe that you cannot save yourself. And this faith does not leave you. It stays with you. So, and he said, this faith is in your heart. It's not in your head. It's not in your mind. It is the heart here is talking not of the heart that is pumping blood into our body, but the heart is talking about a spiritual organ that God is given to us. We'll be talking about this as we go on. So this heart is the heart that is given to you. It has to touch your spirit man. That's the word heart here. As it touches your spirit man, this faith is imparted to your spirit man. We said this last week, that this faith, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we have on the same spirit of faith. This faith is of the spirit. It's of the heart. So the heart and the spirit here, they are saying the same thing in this context. So it's of the heart. It comes to your heart, and you receive this faith, and you then need to live by this faith. And then this faith is confessed. That's why when a person receives Christ, he has to confess it for the reality to come to him. He has to say, I have believed the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. I have received into my heart as a sinner. I have invited him to be my savior. He will confess it. Now Jesus is my Lord. As he confesses, this is faith. This righteousness will begin to grow in him. At least now we're talking about this faith, this living faith, this faith to live by, this saving faith. That's what we're talking about here. It is important that when somebody is born again, he should know this faith. He should know that God has given him something precious, something important that he needs to nurture. He needs to look after so that he can increase and grow in this faith. Like we said last week, that because you are coming to deal with a God that is invisible, with the spiritual, with the physical eyes, that you cannot reach with your physical mind. So the Bible says God is a spirit, and those who worship him will worship him in spirit and truth. So you need this faith to be able to deal with this God, to contact him, to speak to him. This faith must be expressed in your prayer, in what you say, in what you do, It is important. That's why the Bible said the just shall live by his faith. It's a faith you live by. The scripture says without faith it's impossible to please God, because he who comes to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In fact, the scripture says anything that we do without faith is of sin. So the life you are called to live is a life of faith. A child of God, you are called to live by faith. Every aspect of your life, every facet of life, you are to live by faith in your relationship with God. We are talking about this faith. We are talking how it's given to us. We are saying it comes when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when the true gospel has been preached to us. Please, I also want to read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say unto you, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay, so we see again, for every Christian who has heard the gospel, who has received the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart, there's a faith in him. The scripture says this faith has been given to everyone. Because Paul here is talking to the brethren. He's talking to the brethren. Therefore, brethren. That's what he's saying in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So he's not talking to unbelievers. And he's saying here that this faith, that's a portion that God has dealt to every man, the measure of faith. So no child of God should say, I do not have faith. It's been given to you. You have it. If you are born again, you have this living faith, this faith to live by. The just shall live by faith. This faith should be in your heart. Please remember, it's not in your head. It's not in your mind. It's in your heart. By your heart, we mean your spirit. Please let me read that scripture again to you so that this can be reinforced for you. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, we have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You see now, this faith is of the heart. It's of your spirit. It's not a mental faith. It's not a natural faith. Like I said, there's a plane we call natural faith. Without that natural faith, you can't live in this natural world. Because you believe that chair you are sitting on can carry you, that's why you are sitting on it. You believe that vehicle will take you to where you are going, that's where you enter into it. So you see, there's a natural faith, there's a mental faith, 2 + 2 = 4. That's a mental faith. It's this mental faith we exercise by reading. If somebody tells you he has been to Tokyo, you have not been there. You believe. That's a mental faith. But we're talking, also we've talked about faith that is describing the embodiment of beliefs. We also mentioned that. But what we are emphasizing on this issue that we are bringing to you is this living faith. This faith that you live by, that is in your heart. We have read here, he said this faith is of the spirit. I also want to say quickly here, this faith is not just a faith to acquire material things. It's not for materialism at all. There's a way faith has been taught to mean that you can nurture your greed and just get as much as you can. Just be greedy and claim everything and corner everything and acquire everything and sit on what you have acquired. This is not the kind of faith we're talking about. It's a misuse of faith, if it's a faith at all, or misapplication of the word of God. Yes, you need faith to believe God to meet your needs. But then it's not the faith that we see today that many people are talking about and writing about. It's about faith to be greedy, to see people, to see another person has a car and you are claiming that car when you have not had in your heart, in your spirit. This faith comes by hearing. We mentioned this also last week. It says it comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of the Lord. And we explain that this faith, this hearing is talking about the hearing that is of the spirit, the rhema. We explain that there's the logos, which is the written word of God, the thought of God that is written, the logos, the Bible. But then beyond the logos, we need the rhema. God must speak afresh to us from his word. The Bible said the just shall live by his faith. Also, there's another scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this is the spoken word. Man must live by physical bread in this physical world for him to be sustained, for him to live and not die. But he said, but man must not live by just physical bread alone. Man also must live by spiritual bread that is given to him. He said, the just shall live by faith. And it's also the man shall not live what? By bread alone. But he must live by every word that comes, that proceeds from the mouth of God. That means every Christian needs to hear God. God must speak to him for this faith to be given to him. And when God speaks, he speaks into your spirit man. He does not speak to your mind. He does not speak to your intellect. He speaks to your spirit man. And this scripture we have read says, therefore we believe. We believe what has been spoken into our spirit man. And because we believe what has been spoken to our spirit man, therefore we speak. You cannot but speak what your spirit man has caught. You will speak it out. And this faith has a voice. It speaks. Just like doubt and unbelief and fear has a voice, so also this faith speaks. And it's important that we understand this. If you see a man of faith, he will speak of his faith. He will say what he has heard. This is the way men who walk with God, this is how they walk with God. They heard from God. God spoke impossible things to them, naturally impossible for a man to do, but because God spoke into them, it came with impartation, with creative power. Faith is creative ability of God in man. The scripture says God is God of faith. When Jesus spoke to the tree and said, no man shall eat of thee. And the disciples say, wow, how did you do this? Jesus said, have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. In other words, the God I will serve is a God of faith. He said, let there be. And it was done. And so God is putting that same faith, that saving grace that we receive at the beginning. When we repented, when we gave our life to Christ, that faith is there. That faith needs to be nurtured. When we come again, you will see that the scripture talks about little faith. The scripture also talks about weak faith. This faith can be little. This faith can be weak. Indeed, and this faith can be very strong, because the Bible also talks about the exceeding great faith. So once this faith has been given to you, once this faith has been deposited in your heart, you have to do something about it. First, you have to fellowship with God. You have to hear in the spirit. You have to nurture this faith, because this faith can remain small forever. This faith can become very strong, and you can do exploit through this faith. Because the Bible says, those who know their God shall do exploit. They shall be strong in faith. The scripture says Abraham was strong in faith. So this faith can be weak. This faith can be small. This faith can be strong. It depends on your fellowship with God. It depends on what kind of things you are hearing, your level of relationship with God. And for your faith to grow, you need to be able to spend time with this God to speak to you. Your ears must be opened. The scripture, my ears have that opened. God must open your ears to hear if you are going to live by this faith. It is important. And I just want to read Matthew 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if God also clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, Jesus is talking about little faith here. In other words, chiding them, rebuking them for the fact that their faith was little. Your faith needs to be strong. It's not saying to them that, okay, it's enough. Yes, I know there's another scripture where the Lord says, if you have a faith like a grain or mustard, it's enough. But for these people at this point in time, the Lord was saying their faith was too small. So that faith, it must begin somewhere small. It must begin somewhere small, like a grain of mustard. But it must grow and grow. And grow, because you see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, Paul was talking about this faith growing. And I want us to look at that, to see that this faith must grow. And one of the reasons why we are coming, that we believe the Lord has placed us here to speak to you, is to cause this faith to grow. Because if you are going to live for God, if you are going to be victorious, you need this faith. We can't overcome sin, you can't overcome flesh, you can't overcome the devil without this faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 say, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, that is me, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other abounded. So these believers in Thessalonica, they were men of faith. They were brethren who were given time to nurture their faith. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. That is me, because that your faith groweth. This faith has to grow exceedingly. So one of the reasons why we're coming is that this faith may grow. So your faith will not remain either little or weak, that your faith may be strong. That's why we're coming to you. And we trust that the Lord is speaking to you. We trust that the Lord is touching you, that this faith may come alive in you. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This is the reason why your faith must be strong, because the moment you are born of God, like we said at the beginning, God puts something in you. They say, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So you see, this faith allows you, gives you, equips you, strengthens you to overcome. God is looking for overcomers. God is not looking for those who are overcome by sin, by the devil, by doubt, fear, and unbelief. God is looking for those who will overcome. And thank God, God has put something in your heart, if you're a child of God, that should give you all you need to overcome. And that's why your faith must not remain small or weak. It must be strong. It must grow. Because there's so many things to overcome. There's so many things to deal with. And so as we come your way, we're going to begin to share this. As we go on, I just want to show you another scripture. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that popular chapter on faith, which talks about heroes and heroines of faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we will see that these men and women too, you will see their faith. And I just want to read a portion for you, Hebrews 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of burns and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of earth, and these all having obtained what? A good report through faith, received not the promise. But God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. So we see here, that's why we said that this faith we are talking about is not just faith to acquire things. It's not faith to be greedy. It's not faith to just become materialistic and be pursuing things. No. What we have read about these heroes and heroines of faith is talking about the subdued kingdom, they wrought righteousness, they brought forth the kingdom of God, they stopped the mouth of lions, they stopped fire. And not only that these people, they suffered. It is all by faith. They were able to go through persecution and suffering and mocking and rejections by faith. They were able to follow God by faith. They wandered about by faith. So we see that faith, today the impression is created, if you have faith, there will be no problems. If you have faith, you have everything. Yeah, that's true. But also, it takes faith to obey God. It takes faith to confront issues. It takes faith to stand against popular opinions. It takes faith to follow God when it is not convenient. It takes faith to stand when everybody is against you. It takes faith to obey God. The Bible said that Noah obeyed God when he was asked to build an ark. It has never happened before. It has never rained before. And here was Noah that was asked to go and build an ark for God. And the scriptures say it's by faith that Noah went to build that ark for God. You will see also in this place. In other words, all these people, they obtain good report. Listeners, you and I, we have been called to overcome. You and I, we have been called to face issues. And the good news is this, that faith to overcome is given to you. The Bible says anyone who is born of God overcomes. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Like I said, faith in our hearts is the power of God in man. It's the force of God in man. A creative force, a powerful force, an overcoming force in man. And that's why we must nurture this faith, grow in this faith, and that's why we must understand this faith. And the scripture says this faith we are talking about to you is part of the first principles of God. I hear and I see many believers today, when they speak of their doubts and fears and troubles. But if truly you understand this faith, when you speak, you will speak faith. The Bible says this faith is of the Spirit. Therefore, we also haven't heard in the Spirit. We believe, and therefore we speak. Listener, I pray that the Lord will bless you. I pray that the faith we talk about today will be imparted to you. If this faith is weak, that it will be strengthened. You will return to that place to prove God, to see the power of God in your life. If you are listening to me and you are not yet born again, it's an opportunity for you to simply pray and invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. It's simple. Just simply, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. The scripture said the power is given to everyone that believes, that he may become a child of God. If you truly believe, sincerely inviting Christ into your heart, he will come in and your life will never be the same again. I pray that the Lord will bless you, that the grace of God will come into your life, that you will never be the same again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power.